No public worship, services confined to online, churches only open for private prayer. For the second year in succession, COVID-19 restrictions mean church doors will remain closed this Easter for traditional Christian celebrations. There's no date for the resumption of public worship here, which under the government's Living with COVID plan would not be allowed until restrictions reach level 2. We're currently at level 5. Attendance at funerals will rise from 10 to 25, but only from the 26th of April. We're joined now by the Archbishop of Armagh, Eamon Martin. A very good afternoon to you, Archbishop, and you're welcome
to
the programme.
Good afternoon, Brian, and everyone.
Two of your colleagues have been speaking on this issue of public worship under COVID-19. The Bishop of Waterford, Alphonsus Cullinan, saying that the spiritual well-being of people has not been given serious attention by the authorities. And the Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Farrell, saying this week that a return to public worship should be given specific consideration by the authorities at the end of this month. Is it the case that people's spiritual well-being has been neglected by public health and government during this pandemic?
I think it has been, actually. I think throughout the pandemic, we've been very much aware about the importance of mental and emotional and physical well-being. But I think also as people of faith, we would believe we need to nurture our spiritual health. You know, that the virus doesn't just threaten us, you know, physically and emotionally and mentally. It also has the potential to shake us spiritually. And I do feel that people of faith and believers and those for whom attending Mass and worship and the sacraments together is important, they would find a great deep hunger and need for the sacraments. At the same time, we in the church have been really careful to try to keep people as safe as possible. It's consistent with our teaching about the importance of health and life and the common good. And it's a really difficult balancing act, but we would have really hoped to have had some opportunity to gather in cautious, small numbers for Holy Week and Easter. As we're doing in Northern Ireland, we have been having very mature and careful conversations with the government here in the north and with the public health authorities who recognise that people's spiritual, mental and emotional health helps them with their physical health as well.
I want to come back to the situation in the north because your own diocese straddles the border. But the situation at the moment here in this jurisdiction, level two is where public worship would be able to resume. Is that too restrictive? Should worship be able to resume before that?
Absolutely. I mean, we have been making it really clear that we can understand that when there is a lockdown, a complete lockdown at level five, where people are being told, stay at home. I think the churches want to play their part in promoting that important public health message. But I do feel as soon as level five is lifted, that very immediate, very high level of restriction, that the churches should be able to gather safely, because we're talking about very large buildings, well-vented. We're talking about places where we have stewarding, sanitising, very careful precautions to ensure public safety.
But what do you say to the concern that it's not so much what might happen inside the church building, but outside, bringing people together to worship in the church in a way that's safe, but then the possibility they may mingle outside and that may be the moment where infection and transmission of infection could occur?
That's true. I think there is that danger. But one of the things you'll find is that the churches, and I'm not just talking about the Catholic Church here, all of the churches and the faith groups have been very strong in trying to promote the message of safety. And what happens in someone's home after a baptism, for example, or after a first communion, is something that we can hardly be expected to discipline. However, what we have done is we've postponed a lot of those big celebrations of First Communion and Confirmation for the time being, until the vaccine rollout and until people feel that little bit more safe in gathering together. So I think what we're trying to really advocate here is a very mature and sensible dialogue between the churches and the government and, of course, the public health authorities. Because if we work together, we can help to keep the whole country safe.
As I said, your own diocese straddles the border, the Diocese of Armagh, and on the northern side, in Northern Ireland, churches have been allowed to resume public worship just in the last week or so. What's been the experience of parishes on the northern side of the border in your own diocese now with this opportunity to once again welcome people into worship?
Cautious and careful. I mean, all of our parishes are being very careful, putting in place really good arrangements. There are some unusual situations. For example, I can think of one parish which has two churches in Northern Ireland and one of its churches in the south. So you have the situation where even in a parish, there are restrictions in different parts of the parish. But I think by and large, our people are really good helpers, and parish COVID teams and support groups and pastoral councils are being very, very careful with each other. So it was wonderful for me last night to have the Mass of the Lord's Supper with a small, socially distanced congregation, reaching out, as we were, over the webcam to many other vulnerable people who feel they can't come out at this time, and of course reaching out to our brothers and sisters south of the border and saying, listen, you're part of us, we're including you in our prayers, and we're really hoping for the day when across the whole island people can gather to worship safely.
Just a word about the perhaps longer term impact of all of this, the pandemic, on parishes, on the involvement of lay people, on parish finances. Is there going to be a long term impact?
I think parishes are similar to many, many other organisations and groups. They depend upon people's charity and funding. And if people aren't simply able to come out, it's difficult for them to support in the same way. But we've also been hugely impressed by the way that people have been continuing to give in their envelopes and support the church through their voluntary donations. I think a lot of parishes are suffering. I think on average we're talking about maybe anything between about 30% and right up to 60% of a decline in income, but we're also doing our best to make savings, and we also realise that our parishioners, our people, everyone is suffering and worried financially at this stage. Please God, we'll get through this, and we're also trying to divert a lot of our funds to helping those who are most vulnerable, those who are struggling really with the poverty of this situation during these days.
Finally, Archbishop Martin, former President Mary McAleese wrote to you last month on the issue of the church blessing of same-sex couples. Specifically, she asked that you acknowledge that a recent Vatican document which said that the church couldn't bless these relationships because it couldn't bless sin was, in her words, gratuitously cruel. Do you acknowledge and accept that?
I think what we're talking about here is a question which was put to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. This is the group which is charged with the task of promoting and protecting the teaching of the Church. And it was a specific question. Does the Church have the power to bless unions of people of the same sex? I think the Church's teaching on marriage is very, very well known. And the congregation basically issued the response that at this time the Church is not able to bless same-sex unions, which would imply that there was and that they were akin to the marriage between a man and a woman, which is open to the transmission of life and the procreation of children.
Yeah, but
the Church,
what seems to
teaching simply cannot bless these two as being the same.
I suppose a lot of the focus on this, though, was the language that was used in the document. Your own colleague, the Bishop of Acroney, Paul Dempsey, described it as cold and distant, at worst hurtful and offensive. Is he right?
I think that whenever you're talking about a teaching document, it does tend to have a very direct and a very clear way of outlining the position. That might be different from the pastoral reality on the ground, the dilemmas and the struggles of pastors and people who are trying to apply that teaching on the ground. But I'm not sure if this was a language issue. I don't know whether or not if you issued a document perhaps with softer or more moderate teaching in it, would that be the same if it doesn't actually give the answer that some people might have been hoping for or expecting? I think on the ground we just have to do our best to try to include rather than exclude people, to let them realise that you are loved, you can be blessed. What the Church was talking about here was the blessing of a union, which would be the same for heterosexual couples perhaps who've been married before, who cannot get remarried in the Church. Blessing of that union is not the same to the union, the sacramental union in marriage of a man and a woman.
Very good. Catholic Archbishop of Armagh, Eamon Martin, thanks for talking to us on the programme.